रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय अहपते नमः. आयुर्वेद कांड चैप्टर नंबर 23 लक्ष्मणस रिप्लाई. Recitation starts now. Lakshmana never raised his eyes from the ground, a sure sign that Rama's skillful arguments failed to make any impression upon him. He was divided between the conflicting emotions of joy that his brother was firm as a rock in his adherence to Dharma and grief that he had to renounce the throne. His feelings never found expression in words, and the next moment banished even such thoughts from his mind. His brow was knotted and wrinkled in ominous frowns like an infuriated lion. He hissed forth burning sighs like a dread serpent in his narrow prison. He moved his head up and down as if following the rising waves of his wrath. His fingers twined and untwined themselves aimlessly like a trunk of a mighty elephant. He shot a glance from beneath his dark brows at Rama and said, "It is all unseemly of you to exhibit such excitement and manifest pleasure in your exile to the woods. I understand you to say if I fulfill my father's word to Kaiki, it is a crime against Dharma. The people will naturally doubt my readiness and willingness to protect them when I take light of my father's commands. Weaklings, cowards, lunatics, and scum of the Kshatriya race lay themselves down with a destiny to be trampled upon and kicked about. But you are the flower of valor and royalty. You need no extraneous help to set aside the might of destiny. Your head is ever cool and your heart is ever calm. Then is it just of you to lord overmuch this puny destiny and call it omnipotent, unassailable, and invincible?" "Well," said Brihaspati, "destiny is the last refuge of a coward, nay, the bread giver. So it is justly the god of the impotent. Man's will alone is omnipotent, and destiny flees before it. What a worthy theme of praise! You apprehend treason against Dharma if you fulfill not your father's command. But I wonder why you fail to harbor any suspicion of these sinful creatures, Dasharatha and Kaiki, that seek your ruin and destruction. I will not have you say, 'Are they not loyal servants of Dharma?' The world is full of such scoundrels who are adepts in the art of hiding their cruelty and wickedness under the cloak of loyalty to Dharma. Your pure and innocent heart never suspects them, but sees in them its own reflection. Why do you not understand that it is a preconcerted scheme of theirs to prevent your coronation? If they had not set about it long ago, why should Kaiki put off so unconsciously long the two boons granted to her thousands of years ago? Let me sketch you the plot. Says Dasharatha to his fellow conspirator, Rama is, by a cruel misfortune, my firstborn, and as such has a lawful claim to this kingdom. But, you know, my heart is set upon placing your son on the throne. Alas, the obstinate people would not sit quiet and see a younger brother crowned over the head of the elder. Well, let us seek to achieve our ends another way. I will solemnly promise before the assembled millions, high and low, to place Rama on the throne. Next, you come into the game and imperiously and relentlessly demand two boons I granted you of yore. I fume and I rage, I rave and I swear, I weep and I entreat, I curse and I scream, but I will give in after a well-stimulated fight. Rama will be banished to the wild woods for a long time and Bharata will rule over the earth. Find me anyone on earth who supports the succession of a younger brother to the throne over the head of the elder. I do not care to sit patiently under this injustice. I would have you excuse me. You are endowed with the greatest and the keenest intellect, and in this affair you are under a huge misapprehension. A distorted conception of the practice of Dharma makes you say, 'I will not have this coronation, I will go to the forest, else I will lay myself open to a heinous sin.' That dharma of yours is the object of my special hatred. Dashrata, the king of Ayodhya, is set up by the artful Kaikeyi and speaks such words as are inimical to dharma and utterly condemned by all people. And you of inconceivable might and invincible valor, bow your head in submission and obey their unjust behests? What an impossible chance! Pray, pardon me if I attribute this attitude of yours to a slight, though temporary, aberration of your noble intellect. It cuts me to the heart to think that you are their dupe and take it as gospel their plots and wiles to prevent your coronation. Find me anyone among the millions of this world who take your view of the discharge of duty. They are our parents, but to the world they are in fact our bitterest and most relentless enemies. They are sheep under wolf's clothing, slaves to passion and lust. They seek ever our ruin and destruction, and no sane person would ever dream of obeying their commands. I heard you say, Kaikeyi is not to blame, but destiny that put this evil counsel into her heart. It is a lame argument at best, and is supremely ridiculous in my eyes. I tell you once again that none but cowards and weaklings bend themselves before destiny. It is utterly powerless before such heroes and men of iron will as ever have their feet on its neck. It interferes not with their concerns. Bear with me yet a while, and you will see an object lesson of the comparative merits of free will and destiny. Man's will shall triumph over fate, and the world will learn a profitable lesson that it has wanted for a long time. You hold, and many others with you, that your coronation has been prevented by destiny. This day you will see that destiny flee powerless before my will. Destiny is an elephant in rut that snaps its chains like cobwebs, and all mindless of the sharp goad lords it over all, and my intellect is the fatal noose that will throw it down and drag it powerless and cowed to my feet. The countless myriads in the three worlds with their lords and regents are utterly impotent to prevent your coronation. Why speak of this puny sire of yours? It is but good sport to hoist the engineer of his own petard, and they who plotted in secret to prevent your coronation and banish you to the gloomy forest shall at my word themselves taste of the pleasures of the forest life for 14 years. This day shall I nip in the bud their hopes of preventing your installation and placing the crown on the head of their beloved son Bharata. One can afford to brave destiny and live, but has anyone heard of a person brave my anger and yet survive to tell it? Would you go to the forest? Well, you shall go, but all in good time. Not now, not for this reason. It is a time-honored tradition among the Ikshvakus that the royal sages rule long and happily over their subjects. When age lays its heavy hand on them, they decide to lead the life of a hermit and make over the kingdom and its cares to their sons, enjoining them to watch over the welfare of the people with paternal solicitude. Even so, you will reign over us long and happily for thousands of years, and seek the solitudes of the forest when your sons shall inherit the kingdom. Do you renounce the crown because a father is a creature of impulses, and the kingdom will change hands with its moods? I take it upon myself to protect this realm, even as the shores keep the ocean billows within bounds. Nay, I swear it by everything I hold most sacred. Let the whole of the heroes be close to me in the heaven if I fail in my promise. I pray you turn your thoughts upon crowning yourself with the materials gathered thereunto. Alone and unaided, I am more than a match for any king that may approach us with a hostile intent. These long arms of mine, are they for show? The bow in my hands, the sword upon my thigh, the quiver on my back, are they toys or gaudy baubles or bravado? They are meant to exterminate our foes, root and branch. My heart knows no peace. My arm knows no rest. If anyone should dare rank himself among my foes and live, my sword shall, like chain lightning, strike him down and drink his life blood. I will treat your eyes this day to a rare feast. My good sword shall lop off the heads the hands and legs of men, horses, and elephants, until the earth is a trackless forest therewith. It shall flash and wave over the fast-falling elephants like blazing mountain or rain clouds dark and heavy, relieved by lambent lightning. Is there anyone among the countless millions that crowd this earth who dare call himself a man and a hero if I but stand against him on the field of battle, bow in hand? Would they not hide their diminished heads in shame and fear as if there were so many timid women? Now I shall pierce a foe with countless arrows in rapid succession. Now I will transfix many a foe with a single shaft. I will sheath my darts in the vital parts of warriors, horses, and elephants. So let no shadow of a doubt cross your mind about my annihilating my foes alone and unaided. This day the world shall see the might and splendor of the divine weapons into whose mysteries I have been initiated. I will even pluck the crown off. I will even pluck the crown from off the unworthy brows of Dashrath and lay it at your feet. These two arms of mine had till now no heavier task than to be smeared with perfumed sandal paste, deck themselves with golden gems, give away rich gifts and costly, and shield my friends and dependents from harm. Today they shall be engaged in the more glorious and congenial task of exterminating those that stand in the way of your coronation. What foe of yours shall I deprive of life and fame, friends and retainers? Your humble servitor am I, ever awaiting your commands. What shall I do to bring this royal earth under your sway? And to him replied Rama, the glory of the Ikshvaku race. Child, the Vedas lay it down that the person deserves the name of a son or putra in that his parents' word is law unto him while they are on earth. He feeds countless men and women on the anniversary of their departure to the seats of the blessed, and he makes offerings of food to their names at the holy Gaya. So I will not transgress the commands of our sire. I will fulfill them at any cost. Take my word for it that this is the path trod by the good and great in this world. Thus did he explain, but more succinctly, his course of action and the duty that lay before him. He wiped away the fast falling tears of Lakshmana and brought solace and consolation to his grieved heart. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdhye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.